Okay, hello everybody and welcome to the Appeals and Review Committee here on Monday the 28th of October 2024. If I can start by saying, this meeting will be recorded and sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. And the use of such images or recordings is not under the Council's control. Okay, so let me start. Do I have any apologies?
No.
No, that's lovely. Can we have a look at the minutes of the previous meeting? Are we happy to accept these? Yeah. Would you like to take a vote on that? No? Just a nod, it's fine.
Yeah.
Excellent. No, that's nothing. Thank you very much. Under item 3, with disclosures of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests, do members have any interest to disclose? No? No? Okay, excellent. There have been no questions submitted under Committee Procedures 12.8, so we can take item 4. Which brings us on to item 5, you'll be glad to hear. Borough of Charnwood Land adjoining 6 Groovy Lane, Newtown Linford Tree Preservation Order. So, may I start with Nicola Ford, legal advisor. Would you like to introduce your report?
Thank you, Chair. So, this is the Appeals and Reviews Committee of 28th October 2024. To consider the Borough of Charnwood land adjoining 6 Groby Lane, Newtown Linford Tree Preservation Order 2024. That order relates to mixed woodland named W1, which contains oak, ash, horse, chestnut and silver birch trees on land adjoining 6 Groby Lane, Newtown Linford. The committee has before it the tree officer report, as well as 6 separate representations made by various neighbours for opposed to the confirmation of the TPO to in support. The committee will need to determine whether to confirm the tree preservation order, and if so, with or without modification, or alternatively, to not confirm the tree preservation order.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
So, I then move on to Mr. Mark Fennell, who is our team leader of natural and built environment. Could you present your case, please?
Chair, what I've done is, because there's some technical aspects to this, I've asked Dominic Warren to come and do that.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very
much.
He's
the senior tree officer.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yes, so the tree preservation order has been recommended for confirmation. On basis, it's a woodland TPO to the west of Groby Lane, adjacent to the conservation area. My colleague Jonathan Galley has put together the report, so I can't present it on his behalf. But my understanding is that there was an inquiry received due to the change of ownership of the woodland, which is recognised as a point where management may change or there was a risk that the woodland could be felled. So Jonathan has visited site and spoke to the owners and to the neighbours as well. And we feel that given the change of ownership, some of the nature of the objections in terms of, you know, concerns about blight and requiring trees to be pruned, cut back, etc., that there would be increased pressure for trees to be removed or pruned if the controls were not in place. So for that reason, we would push for the TPO.
Okay. Thank you. So first of all, may I ask members of the committee if you have any questions? I'm so sorry, can you talk? I can't read from here. Your name again, I'm so sorry.
Dominic,
thank you. Sorry, that's very rude of me. Does anybody have any questions here amongst the committee for Dominic?
Well, mine was more about
just the process, but I think I understand that the responsibility of the previous landowner should have passed on a provisional TPO.
If it was served, it would be served on the land, not necessarily on the person.
Yeah. Okay.
So if the TPO, I'm not sure when the date was that the TPO was served and whether that land ownership changed.
Yeah.
The TPO goes with that, will carry with the land.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do I have any questions here?
No.
Can I ask, I have a question. I know that it suggests here, can't find it in front of me, but there's, did you say there's oak, horse chestnut? Are these quite old specimens? Are they quite mature?
My understanding is there's a mix because there's no public access to the site.
Right.
I understand Jonathan has been to site and he's reported that there is a mix. Looking at historical aerial imagery, you can see that around the edge there's more mature trees and in the centre is more of a plantation.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
That's about 20 years old.
Thank you. Okie dokie. Right, now it is your opportunity. If you would like to ask Dominic any questions about his report, this is your opportunity to do so.
Okay, right, well, thanks for having us here. The problem is for me, I'm slightly dyslexic, so I don't want that as an excuse for anything, but I've had to write this down because I can speak freely quite easily, but when I have to read, so I apologise if some things come out wrong. So I've written a statement that I think will hopefully pass to you guys, and then you can then, you know, because I'm not used to doing things like this, so anyway. First of all, my objection to the TPO being confirmed on the Woodlands as follows. And if you could refer to the letter that we objected, dated the 19th of July, I'm sure you've read that. This states our objection, but I think that we want to be here so you can see it, and, you know, I think sometimes it's good to get your voice out there. So, as I purchased the property on the 19th of June, I'm sure you can appreciate I felt completely blindsided when I was contacted by a resident on Ruby Lane who informed me of the temporary TPO order dated the 26th of June, exactly 1 week after I had purchased the property. I had received no notice or correspondence from the council whatsoever at 6 Ruby Lane. When I met Jonathan Galley on site, I asked him how he accessed the access had been gained to review the woodland prior to the temporary order being given. He confirmed that he had gained access by climbing over a neighbouring fence and without the authority of the homeowner, officer me, of the woodland. Is this normal practice by the council or is this trespass? Jonathan was very informative, helpful and professional when we met on site. I discussed my plans for the woodland at length with him, and he confirmed at this time that he had met me previously, he would not have had the need to for expediency for a TPO order. That's what Jonathan said. It seems to me that the major public concern here is not for the preservation of the woodland, more a concern that a development site could be built to the rear of their properties. Only one person who did not offer a support or objection letter has come forward since ownership to offer any vital help in the woodlands. Please refer to the letter on page 20 and 21 from Nick and Sarah Worthington and Keith and Sue Bird in support of the TPO. Number 30 is not adjacent to the woodland, so that's incorrect. And number 28's comments are false. Our house was sale agreed on the open market through Fine and Country in Woodhouse Seeds in November 23, not underhand how it looks in the letter. Number 28, who moved in last year, which is Sarah and Nick, who moved in last year, recently moved a prominent and mature silver birch tree to the front of their property, which could also be seen from Bradford Park. Where does it stop? The council say this is the council's only opportunity for the TPO. So why in the last 30 years since it was planted has the opportunity not arisen before? The woodland was sold to the previous owner 4 years ago. So why was the TPO not sought at this time? Why was I not contacted to discuss the proposed TPO order in the first instance. Also, I'm under no pressure from any neighbouring properties for any pruning or woodland to achieve sunlight in gardens. Any woodland maintenance will be carried out under professional recommendations. I've reiterated to Jonathan Gallier that there is a 50% uplift value on the woodland in its entirety, which was put in place when it was sold to the previous owners 4 years ago. This would negate any value as development land, and I suspect if the member of the public who brought this TPO suggestion to the council was aware of this fact, we wouldn't be sitting here today. I therefore reiterate my sole intention and commitment to manage the woodland without any need for a TPO. Out of the 10 properties, 9 of which gardens rear boundaries to the woodlands, 4 object to the TPO. 2 support the TPO, 1 of which doesn't have the boundary to the woodland, and 4 have no comments. So therefore, in my opinion, the majority are against the TPO order. Thank you for your time.
Ms. Taylor, would you like to speak as well?
No, I mean, obviously David's going to speak, so we've written down so we could put across exactly what happened. And I think we were completely blindsided the way that, I mean, I can't imagine them in any other walk of life where you would get away with the haphazard way in which the council have gone about it. So Jonathan assured us of transparency at all times. We asked him where this this person had come from who said that it should have a TPO on it. And there has been no transparency in that department, we haven't been told. So we give everything and our honest opinions and answers. And he was really, really good. He was very honest and he said, I climbed over the guy's fence and got into the wood. Now, the problem is that, as far as I'm aware, that is trespassing. And it could have just knocked on the buzzer on the gate. Somebody could have just gone and pressed the buzzer and said, you know, we're here to look at the woodland, somebody suggested blah, blah, blah. But instead, to access the way that they did, I think, you know, we're trying to protect the woodland, but it feels like it's been done with our hands behind our backs.
It feels like there's some still grubbery going on. Sorry. Yeah. It just feels like something was a bit strange. We had the house for a week. Next thing, boom, we'd have no confirmation. And listen, I'm not actually picking on Jonathan Gallagher. He did what he was probably told to do. And we are very easy going, by the way. We're not one of these people that, you know, park owners and stuff. You know, we're not that. I'm not trying to go like that. But it just feels that it seems very official coming to our way, but how it was dealt with seemed a little bit unprofessional, and it's just, and I will reiterate, Jonathan Galley was very, very helpful, very, very, you know, I can't be professional about the way he dealt with us discussing the way forward, but just the original first, you know.
Basically, the house was bought by Dave on the 19th of June. We had to then go to your son's wedding, and it was somebody from Ruby Lane who phoned us to say they'd received this paperwork, didn't we know this was going on. Which was issued on the 26th of June.
And we had no correspondence.
So there was no correspondence going to the house at all, no notification, nothing. So it feels like it's been done a bit underhand, has been rushed through by somebody, and obviously we can't say, it doesn't feel that it's how, especially our council, should be providing a service to our neighbour. You know, don't say that the house and retail neighbourhood for a long time. So,
I think, it doesn't affect the tree situation, but so you should know that we were so excited to get there, because also the house needs some work, there's some barns that need some work, and I think that we were so excited, and we even preempted buying back boxes, hedgehog thing. So we were kind of, looking forward to probably getting in, stuck in, and then you get this. It just feels that when Jonathan Gallagher said to me, one of his comments was, which was quite, I understood this. He said, if you're so kind of keen and passionate about wood, then why would you be kind of objective of a TPO went on it? And I understood that. And I said, well, if you bought a car off me, and I said, we could only drive it 3 days a week, and then you'd have to ask me permission if I could drive it on a Sunday, you wouldn't like that. So it was a similar kind of, it's a kind of an idea. So that's where we are. So we are here to say that we want to preserve the wood, we want to get woodland management teams in to help with the wood. We are really passionate about it, but we don't think the need to put a TPO on the wood, in our opinion. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. No, don't worry. Everything's fine. You did fantastically. Thank you very much for your time there. So there's usually two bits. One where you get the opportunity to ask questions, and then one where you present your case.
Sorry.
And I think that's no error on yours. It's as much me for not guiding you in the right way. But I think you might have done both at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just pick out some questions here, if that's all right. I think one of them, you had a question about how we, the Borough Council, access the site. Do you have the information to be able to answer that question or give us some guidance there?
Yeah, so in general, TPOs may come about where there is more expediency than others. So sometimes if we were to notify landowners or developers, that may accelerate works. So sometimes we do have powers of entry, but there's a formal process to go through for that. But whether Jonathan was right to jump over the fence, I'm not entirely sure that that would be. We should have gone through a powers of entry process if we felt that was needed. But in terms of sort of the notification comes out once we decide to create a tree preservation order. And then the process is obviously that we're at the moment, you receive the notification and then it goes out for consultation. And then we decide whether to confirm or not after that 6 month period.
And am I correct in saying that the paperwork goes to the property as opposed to the person? So in this instance,
we did no.
Jonathan's aware.
And Jonathan's aware, and he was quite surprised and shocked. I know he's not.
I think we should go back to the fact. Why doesn't just press the button?
It's almost like someone did it sneakily, like, rather than just come and say. That's how I feel. And not Jonathan. He may have been told by the power to be, this is what you've got to do, and he did it. So please understand, I'm not picking on anyone. But like you've just said, you didn't even actually could give me an answer. Was it right or wrong? But my argument is this: you wouldn't like it, any of you sitting here, if I accessed your property in any way. You wouldn't like it. You couldn't say you would like it. In other words, I'm walking around your garden. Now, again, please understand, I don't want to get anyone in trouble, I'm just saying that that's how I felt. And it just felt like, why was it done? It just felt like it was done underhand somehow. And I think that I just said, I actually said to Jonathan, why didn't you just
knock on the door?
Or why was I the only one not informed? Everyone else was informed.
This is perhaps an issue that.
So if the letter would have gone to the house and been posted to the house, and then you only moved in recently after that letter was drafted, then obviously there's a sort of it's past you, or it's been drafted through the door, so you wouldn't have known about it until you've moved in.
That was the 19th that the house got sold.
Right.
The letter was administered on the 26th of June.
Right.
So the letter came after.
And what were you looking for before that period, as opposed to the letter coming then?
Sorry, I don't understand.
So we've notified you on the 26th.
Yeah.
Were you expecting to be notified before?
No, we weren't notified.
We weren't notified on the 26th.
We weren't notified. No. So what happened is, every person up the street,
right,
even the guy on the corner, who got a letter about the letter here, but we never received the letter.
Number 6 didn't receive the letter.
Number 6 never received the letter. So I told Jonathan Galley this, because I just said, I've had to go around the neighbour's house and find out what the letter said.
Right.
So he said, that's very unusual. That's what he said. He said, I'll follow it up. So
there is always the possibility I place that here. It might be the possibility. I received documents for a meeting after the meeting had taken place. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is possible. I don't wish to pass on blame to anybody else, but it may be that we're in a situation where the letter was posted, but it hasn't been received, and there is a gap there, which right now, I feel that there isn't anything that we are able to do.
Just to add on that point, Chair, I had a brief discussion with Dem Services earlier today. The responsibility for sending out the TPO is with Democratic Services, and I understand from their records it was sent by recorded delivery on the 26th of June. We have no follow-up from that to say if and when it was signed for.
It was indeed, but of course they sent it to the wrong people. They got redirected to the people who had moved to Scotland.
That's just what I'm wondering, I didn't know whether you were in the House on the 26th of June, because I thought you said you were the 19th of July.
Yeah, but in our statements, if you check, they were registered at the House from the 19th of June. So as the owner of the House from the 19th of June, you would think that the letter would have gone to David White rather than Stephen and Denise.
I think to be fair,
he was a registered owner from the 19th of June.
I do think, to be fair, we're slightly going off the track here, because I think to cut it down, because basically it's about the protection of the wood, it's about how we feel strongly about it and not having a TPO on, and we want to manage it without a TPO on. But just to go back to it, the original statement for us was, it just felt weird that we were the only ones that didn't get the letter. Someone accessed the land from someone else, didn't ask us, so it just felt strange, that's it. So we'll carry on, sorry about that.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate this. It's a very emotional issue. I dislike stopping people speaking, but we want to sort of crack on so we don't get everybody's input here.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, thank you for that. Have anybody here, any of our members, do you have any questions for Mr. Wan and Ms. Taylor? Taylor. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
There seems like there's two issues. One is discontent with the process and the whole way this has been handled. Mm-hmm. Two is the actual tree preservation border on your new land. Mm-hmm. If the process had been handled in a way that you perceived to have been better, would you still be here objecting to the TPO?
Well, to be fair to Jonathan Gurley, he told us that there would have been no expediency for the TPO. He actually said that when he came to me on this emergency meeting that we had at the property, he said to us, if I've come here and spoken to you and understood what your plans were for the wood, I wouldn't have had an expediency for the TPO.
I don't think I asked the question the right way. I do take the point. What I'm asking is, I totally empathise. It's like this is your home and it's your new property. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to get to the bottom of is, I can imagine how it might feel invasive. Mm-hmm. If this had been done in a way that didn't feel invasive, mm-hmm. are you still fundamentally objected to a tree preservation order, which is about maintaining trees in a way similar to it sounds like you want to. So if the process had been perfect from your point of view, would you still not want the TPO?
Yeah.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Councillor Woodward, do you have anything you'd like to ask?
I don't think so, thank you.
No, thank you. Councillor Wall?
No, thank you.
That's lovely. Thank you very much. Excellent. Yes, of course.
I'm so sorry, I just feel like we've got sidetracked. In which case, I just have sort of interest, but it is related to what if the TPO had never happened, what's your plan for the woodland? I know it's in here a little bit, but like,
please understand that when we bought the property, let's talk about the property, and which was then owned to as well, our idea was to maintain the wood, but not going in kind of blind. So we contacted through Jonathan, gave us some names, because Jonathan does tree woodland management himself, because of the conflict and he couldn't get involved, but he did give us people that he could talk to. So our idea was to talk to a woodland manager. We have done, in fact, we're waiting to come back for responses. The idea was to bring it back. You know, I can see a tree and say it's dead, but I still don't want to go and get involved cutting a tree down, because it might be for different reasons why they might say that needs to be there for insects and things. And we even started putting branches that fell down around the bottom of trees, because we've been told insects. And our idea was just to basically take the wood and take it back to how it should be, you know. So you must have to, because obviously we're talking people take out things, clean things. It's got lots of ivy growing up, strangling lots of the trees in there. And Jonathan did tell me that he felt that, and you could obviously talk to him and discuss it when he said that, he did say that the main focus of the trees on the land is on the border with the field next door, which is real big, massive, huge, mature oaks. And the rest of it, and, you know, he didn't specifically say there was anything that he thought was, you know,
particularly special.
But having said that, we know that, we've not actually seen them ourselves, but we know we get told that muntjac come in the wood, and we know that, you know, deer, well, we've said deer, we've never seen them here, but, you know, it's a normal thing. But, yeah, it just feels that we were happy to go in with, listen, I'm a plasterer by trade, you know, that's my trade, so I'll stick to that. But, you know, I believe if we want to get this right, you need to speak to the right people. So, yeah, there was no, and I think, a lot of it was the people panicked, I think, because they thought there's going to be taking loads of trees out to build on there, which is ridiculous. No one would ever do that, even if they could, because the uplift is ridiculous, so you wouldn't do it, which we were aware of when we bought the house and we knew that. So, going back to your original, yes, if this was being put on, done all properly and everything, we'd still be able to discuss doing it the way we like to do it ourselves.
But just trying to clean the wood. Basically, what's happened with the woodland is, when it was planted, and the people that they bought the house from, they have lived there for more than 20 years, and they've never done any work in the woodland at all. So you've got a lot of fallen trees, a lot of choke trees, and they've planted far too many trees close together, which means that nothing was growing as it should. There's no room in the canopy for everything to blossom as it should be. So it needs cleaning, it's the dead trees taken out. There's lots of trees that fell down leaning on trees.
It's
completely overgrown.
And again, I have to say, for another time, Jonathan was very, very helpful and very, very informative. And he was I can't fault him. He was really, really, you know, constructive.
An amenity
space. So I don't want to get him in any trouble. I'm just saying that, you know,
on
record. We've got grandkids that want to go in there and just forage and look at that. Anyway, sorry.
Thank you. Councillor Wallace.
Yes, I just wanted to ask you, because a tree preservation order doesn't actually stop any maintenance of woodland. Mm-hmm. So, and you seem very, very keen on maintaining the woodland, mm-hmm. and keeping the woodland, and making sure it's done correctly. So, I'm just kind of wondering why you feel the way you do about the tree preservation, because in some ways it feels as if that, perhaps, is in line with what you are wanting to do anyway.
Yeah, and that's very correct, and I understand why you're saying that. This is just what's the conversation I had with Jonathan, mm-hmm. when he said, well, if you're serving, you know, and I just said, listen, the thing is, the problem is with a TPO, it's like, you know, you want to do something, it's you have to letters and this and that, and it just becomes a complete paper trail. And we just want to just say, protect the wood on his own merit. And it just feels, again, like I said to you, it seems a silly way of describing it, but, you know, if you had a car that someone said, you're going to look after the car, you're going to maintain it, you're going to service it, you're going to look after it, you're going to clean it and polish it, but you don't want to be told, oh, you can't take it out that day, or you can't drive it that day. It just becomes, well, you've asked permission to do it. It just becomes embroiled in this. That's the kind of analogy I'm trying to give you. So and it's all the time.
So the TPO is a control, and most of the applications that are sensible applications, and all the sensible applications, will be granted the works. It's not necessarily an onerous process. The application form is about 5 pages long. What that allows us to do is, if you are getting pressure from your neighbours to cut trees down and cut them back, is that we take that legal responsibility and pressure for you to actually assist them if that's what you're trying to do. In terms of if you need to do any felling that needs permission from the Forestry Commission, they'll expect you to have a minimum woodland management plan in place. If that woodland management plan's approved, they effectively take over oversight of you managing your woodland, and we don't have any involvement. We the regulations and the Act say that we should or we shall approve works which are agreed by the Forestry Commission in terms of the fairly licensed water management plan. So there's nothing within the TPO based on what you're describing in terms of good woodland management that prevents doing other than creating a five-page document every now and again, and we can approve repeat works within that. So if you want to do, I don't know, prune back one side of the woodland for argument's sake and then keep growing back to keep your neighbours happy.
So if we could come on to the next section, which is actually where we get to ask you questions, I think you might be covering the question I had.
Right.
In the back, the recommendations, it says, the TPR will not place unnecessary burdens on the owners as a woodland management plan. Owners as a woodland management plan could be attached to an application allowing for long-term permissions for the works within to be carried out. So does that mean the tree preservation order is given, and rather than going, I want to cut this branch, can I have permission? Can I have cut that branch? Can we clear this? It would be almost like a document of this is the work that needs to be carried out over the next...
Yeah, so over 2 years, so the permission will be granted, or you can grant a repeat permission for repeat works. So I would see that we're not trying to hinder anything, we're just trying to make sure, and actually we're another, you know, Jonathan's giving you advice, I can give you advice, and it's actually another layer of, you know, professional advice. You obviously play for your private consultant.
Can I just say one thing to answer to your question? Is it Brigitta?
Sorry. Brigitta, yeah, that's fine.
If we said, to answer your question when you said, well, if you wanted to protect the wood, then you would happily have the TPO technically, you'd understand that. But I could spin that the other way. If we said we get a woodland management team in, then why would you need to put the TPO on?
So I'm going to stop you there because I think that we need to carry on with this section.
Oh, sorry.
But no, don't worry about it, because that is a decent thing I think that we will be discussing in a moment, and you're very happy to listen as we chirp away. But if I could just carry on, quite, is there anybody else who'd like to ask Dominic any more questions?
I suppose one question was, again, about process. So what is the typical timescale for the residents, say they did the five-page form, what is the kind of start-to-end process in terms of getting back to people? Because sometimes it can feel onerous because of the timing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have 8 weeks to respond to the tree preservation.
Thank you.
We try and get it done before. I think we've got another 21 days as we go. And then we'll talk about consultations.
Yes, a lot. Best way to go with this. I can't understand where the trigger for the TPO has come from, because it doesn't feel like, as I understand it, there was a problem. It feels, as I understand it, like there's been a change in ownership of the land, but that doesn't seem to me to be a valid reason to put a TPO on an area of land, just because a property changes hands.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm trying to think of a better way to ask it, but why is a TPO going on this land if it's never had one and there doesn't appear to have been a problem? I don't understand why initiate this action unless there's a trigger that is not coming out in the story. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
what's been the trigger for this TPO?
So, I mean, as I say, Jonathan's been dealing with it directly. I'm not going to present the case on his behalf, but as I understand it, obviously there's a change in use, and often with a change in use, is a trigger. So
what was the change in use?
Change in ownership.
So that was the trigger?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
The change of ownership 4 years ago, it didn't happen.
Because I would suspect that at any point, somebody could go, I like the look of that tree, and apply to the council and say, does that have a tree preservation order? I like that tree, I think you should have a tree preservation order. Is that any member of the public could do that about almost any tree?
Yes, I mean, that's true. So the council have the powers to serve a tree preservation order as and when they see fit. There doesn't have to be expediency. Part of the expediency in terms of the assessment is because we try to manage our workload.
Yeah.
So we could serve the TPO really without, and without necessarily there being proven expediency to do so. So in a way, I suppose the expedience, as Jonathan was saying, was there in the first place, or he perceived it was there in the first place, which instigated him undertaking the work then to look to see whether a TPO was worth serving from an amenity point of view.
Thank you very much for that. Does anybody have any more questions for Mr. Fennell or Dominic? I'm sorry. No, that's lovely. So now I move on and I need to check whether members of the committee require any additional information or any clarification from whoever is in this room. No, you're quite clear?
No,
Councillor Fox, do you want, is there anything else you wish to ask of anybody?
No,
I'm fine. Thank you.
You're fine.
That's fantastic. So, this next section, the committee, with the advice of its legal advisor, as necessary, will now discuss this matter and may decide whether or not the order should be confirmed, and if so, whether with or without modification. During this part of the meeting, the parties may not participate. However, as this remains a public meeting, and the parties may continue to observe if you wish. So, moving forward, thank you very much, everybody. Yeah, if you can stay here, you can nip outside, it's entirely up to you. Somebody can shout you back in if you don't want to listen to us maunder on.
I think it's good for you to
thank you very much for your time. Can we give you a shout back in a few minutes?
Yes.
That's lovely, thank you.
Yes.
Well, my first point will always be that a tree preservation order is not punitive. It's not there to punish somebody. It's not there, it's there to preserve and manage land appropriately, not just for us, but for future generations.
You can take that perspective, or you can take the perspective of someone who's worked hard their whole life, earned the money to be able to buy their dream home, come and see this woodland, had great dreams for it, and suddenly felt like they've now got to ask. I totally understand his point. If something feels like it's your own, doesn't feel like your own, if you have to ask permission, even if it's the exact thing that you would do, if it's your dream, if you have worked your whole life to get there, and it's your dream and you want your grandchildren to play there, and all of a sudden you have to ask someone else's permission, it doesn't feel like your home. The whole point of a home is that it's yours.
And I would argue that your home is your home, but that land
is their ownership. They bought it.
Yes, but I would argue that a piece of woodland is woodland, and I feel that we have a duty, all of us, to manage the land that we own.
But I'm positive about human nature, and I totally trust their intention. They come in here, really lovely people, said, this, I believe them at face value, we're really excited about maintaining the land, we really want to make it the best possible place. I see no reason to doubt them.
What if they sell the property in 2 years' time?
I just think that that's all. Why be so negative about it? Why are we creating problems that there is no evidence or no sense that that's going to happen? We've got two people here who come in good faith, saying they don't think it's been handled correctly, but that's by the by. They've worked their lives, earned the money to buy this dream home, and are excited about having it. And now that has been taken away from them. I don't think there's any difference.
I think the importance of the TPO is that it...
I'm afraid I can't have you. I love the fact that you wish to take part. I'm afraid I'm not allowed to ask.
Okay.
That's okay. Please, Benita. Councillor Warren.
I hear what you're saying, Councillor Fox. And to the level, I probably agree with you. But I also see it in a slightly different way, that I don't think it's a negative thing to think about what might happen to this property in 2, 5, 10 years' time, that it may go into different ownership. And also, I think the other thing that I feel, you know, having read these statements, I do
worry about them being pressurised by the neighbours as well. And I just feel that the tree preservation order would actually protect the woodland. I don't see it, but it's still not their own. I feel very much that it is still their own. So that's really how I'm looking at it.
I just want to make one point now, because I really feel for them. I think sometimes if you take action based on the risk that something might happen later that's negative, where there is as of yet absolutely no evidence or inclination that that will happen, you are acting to counter a problem that has not even arisen. So to do this to those people, in case they sell the property in 2 years' time and someone comes in who doesn't like the woodland, it's so hypothetical. If there appears to me no evidential threat whatsoever to that woodland, and the creation of hypothetical threats to the woodland leading to that action is only punishing these people who I believe at face value had only the best intentions for that woodland, for the neighbours. And I also believe that the idea that we should somehow shelter them from the pressure from their neighbours is a little bit patronising to them. They haven't come and said, we're under pressure from neighbours and we can't handle it. It might be a positive if they need it, but to be honest, I don't want somebody telling me that I need their help to deal with a problem that I haven't had the opportunity to deal with myself. So I think it's quite patronising for them to say, don't worry, we'll shelter you from the neighbour's pressure. They might say, we won't bend to the neighbour's pressure. That's our problem, we'll sort it. I think fundamentally, you owe people the opportunity to ask for help when they feel they need it, not to kind of force it upon them because you underestimate them and decided that they're going to need it. And I'll let someone else talk.
Well, we've not asked for TPA on the land before, have we? It's changed ownership a few times, so obviously weren't worried about it last time we changed that.
Yeah, I was asking questions about this.
If it wasn't full on it last time we changed ownership, why are we doing it this time?
There's no problem.
I can presume that if we don't put the power in this time and we change the ownership again, the TPO could be put back on if we thought something was going to happen.
Why are we creating problems that don't exist?
That's what I said, we shouldn't be creating problems. But what I'm saying is, in the future, if the land appears to be sold again, and it appears that it's going to be built on or knocked down, then that's when you step in, isn't it? When you know it's a threat.
This chap didn't seem to... Reading their letter, it seems like that's what they think has happened. They think there's been some scaremongering. Someone's going to be a developer site. Someone's gone to the council and the TPO's coming within 5 days of moving in, and I feel for them.
May I like to play devil's advocate here. I appreciate that you this is a place you can say exactly what you feel. But the tree preservation order isn't really about the people. It's about the trees. So regardless of how the tree preservation order is about the asset that those trees are now and into the future.
I disagree.
And it's about preserving that tree asset.
No, I believe a TPO is about controlling the relationship between people and the trees. That's what it is. A TPO is a control mechanism for how somebody manages a tree. So you can't separate these. It's not the tree itself, it's the process the tree goes through. It's a control mechanism for what happens to the tree by people. Sorry to think. So I think that you can't separate the two. And I think you've got some people here who bought the land willing to maintain the trees. And for some reason, we've decided that we don't trust them. We can't possibly trust them. We've got to go to the council, and the council's got to control that relationship when there is no problem. That's what I think.
Okay.
Sorry, I know Birgitta.
Also Birgitta, I do apologise.
I think environmentally we all
have, that's why I can't hear you.
Environmentally I think we all have a responsibility, and like you have said, it's about the land, it's about the woodland, it's not necessarily about the owners, and it's about making sure that the woodland is maintained in a certain way for now and for the future.
Councillor Woodward.
I agree.
I don't think I've heard about anything.
So we have some quite separate, very differing decisions here and points of view. What are we suggesting then?
I object to it. I'm in full support of the resolution.
Can you say it again?
I object.
Yes. So you're objecting to the tree preservation order?
It is full support of those two resolutions.
Right, okay.
I would like to propose the tree preservation order without modification.
Right, okay. So we have, I've got one person for the tree preservation order, or one who is against it. Can I have some advice on how I take this forward as a vote?
I've just checked the constitution actually, which I'm sure you can as well, but it's determined by majority.
Yeah.
So there are five of you. So if you decide how you're going to progress, we'll need to get the residents back in at some point when you're ready for us.
Absolutely, that's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
So I have somebody, so if we take it as this, so we'll do it, if I'm okay with it, we'll take it. We have a proposal for taking the tree preservation order as it stands, and that allows those who wish to vote against it to vote against it. And then that's a straight yes or no to the tree preservation. Okay?
You do, just to interject to that point, you do need a proposer.
And a seconder, I appreciate that, yes.
Yeah.
So I have a proposer to accept the tree preservation as it is, to accept this tree preservation as it has been presented by the officers. I have a proposer. Do I have a seconder to accepting that? Thank you. Can I have those in favour of the tree preservation order as it stands? Okay. And I think it's important those who wish to vote against. Thank you very much. I have two against. Thank you for that. Okay. So we're accepting the tree preservation as stands without modification.
There is some wording to
say. I was going to say, I'm sure there is some wording somewhere for that. So that's the first one just there.
The first one, yeah.
So, am I all right to invite them back in?
Well, they'll hear it all.
Oh, yeah, yes. They'll have heard me chuntering away then.
Clarify, you want me to declare that, or are you happy to read the confirmation that's on the
script? If having considered in accordance with,
yeah,
is that if you would like to say that, I
will do the script.
Thank you very much for waiting. We had a good conversation, and you certainly spoken. To members who had really taken on what you had said. Am I able just to say, so I'm afraid which you won't be so happy about is that we have gone with the tree preservation order, but it was a very tight vote, I should say. I would like to say that the tree preservation order is not intended to be punitive. It is there to support, and hopefully, with the proposal as it is, with the long-term management plan, you will find it onerous in doing what you want to do with that land, which is exactly what we want to do as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The committee has decided to confirm the order without modification. Having considered in accordance with the procedures set out in the Council's constitution, the objections to the order, the committee considers that the reasons put forward for not protecting the trees do not outweigh the contribution they make to the immunity of the area, and that the trees should therefore be protected.
Thank you very much. And I think, unless I've lost my mind, we've now closed the meeting. Thank you very much to everybody for attending. It's always a good meeting. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.